The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just currently thinking about or maybe planning that first trip to Walt Disney World in a few years' time, but you don't know the difference between The Lion King and Tiger King, well, then this definitely is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. This week, as dining plans and dining reservations start to disappear from your My Disney Experience app, we talk to Michael, who got back from a trip this February, and we talk about food.
I'm not one of these people who take loads of pictures, especially of food, but I've got to take a picture of this.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, trying to get you the latest news from the parks, and of course, everything you need to know about what's going on at Walt Disney World. And make sure you keep in touch with us. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Now, over the last week, I have had so many questions when it comes to rearranging trips and planning and dining and free dining, and will free dining become available again? And what about fast passes? My dining reservations have been cleared. What's going on? When can we go to Walt Disney World again? So many questions that everything is just totally up in the air at the minute. And I think a lot of us don't have the answer. I think most of us don't have the answer. I think Walt Disney World themselves are still kind of trying to find their feet in these unprecedented times, because we still don't know what's going to be around the corner. So I thought on this week's podcast, let's just lay everything down and let's just see where we are at this very moment in time that this podcast is being recorded. So last week we found the news that Walt Disney World had submitted plans to reopen. So the first reopenings would be on the 11th of July, when Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom would be reopening. And then Hollywood Studios and Epcot on the 15th of July. Those plans have been cleared and they are going ahead. We also know that to go into the parks, you will need to be temperature checked and you'll need to wear a face covering at all times. And also, entrance to the parks will be on a reservation basis. Now, at the moment, we don't know how that's going to work, apart from we know that you will have to have a valid park ticket to get a reservation to be in the parks. That is what we knew up to kind of like the end of last week. And then on Friday morning, the early hours of Friday morning, a whole other bunch of information came out that has really affected us, especially here in the UK. Because, you know, if you're living in America, you can jump on a plane and you can go to Walt Disney World for a few days and you can go home. Here in the UK, things are very different. When we book our holidays in the UK, you may or you may not know this, but the division of the Disney company that we book through is not the same as if you're booking, say, in America or Canada. When we book through the Walt Disney World Parks International branch. So for the same reason that we get these amazing deals on the 14-day ticket. The 14-day ticket that we get in the UK is, what, 400 quid, is it? Something like that. Nobody else can have this. This is a UK-only ticket. The free dining offers that we've had that have been brilliant over the last few years is a UK-only deal. Yet they do get free dining in America, but it's a very different deal than what we get here in the UK. So we are dealing with, in a way, a separate part of Walt Disney World. It's a separate division to what the rest of the world uses. So a lot of information that came out over the last week or so is very different to what actually applies to us here in the UK. So regardless of whether you book direct through Walt Disney World or whether you've used a British travel agent, be it TUI or Virgin Holidays, it will be very different to what's going on in America and the deals that they've got. So a lot of this doesn't apply. And so far, as we record this podcast, we don't know how we stand here in the UK, which makes it more difficult because the whole part of the fun of going to Walt Disney World, and that's what this podcast is about, is being able to plan and book. So for example, I now normally would be looking at free dining offers to come out. So I'd book now in June to go next year in October. That's how far ahead the planning for us in the UK goes. And then obviously 180 days out, we start to book our dining reservations. And then 60 days out, if you're staying on site, you start to book your fast passes. But as we know, and this is a pretty much guaranteed from now, all dining reservations have been cancelled. All fast passes have been cancelled. I was supposed to be going in September this year, at the very end of September. So I've seen over the last few days that all the dining plans, dining reservations I made months ago have now gone. And obviously in a few months' time, I'd be starting to look at my fast passes. That's not going to happen. I don't even know whether I can go to Walt Disney World because at the moment, I don't know whether I can get into America. And I don't know if I can get into America, whether when I get back from America, I've got to quarantine myself for 14 days. So you've got that on top of everything. So what else do we know? So as it stands, it looks like Walt Disney World are just trying to clear the boards. They're just trying to get everything down. When the parks open, they're not going to open to capacity. A lot of people are saying it's going to be 20, 30% capacity. So for example, if all the resorts were full, they're going to have more people just in the resorts alone than can actually get into the parks. On top of that, they've got people who are pass holders who also have paid for the year-long pass. They want to get in the parks. There's more people that want to get in the parks and have already paid for the right to be in the parks than can already get in the parks. Then, if we look at dining, for social distancing, a lot of the restaurants now have had to have closed and they've had to take a lot of tables out so that they can then have people dine comfortably at a social distance. So you could imagine that all these people have got free dining plans. So we get free dining plans. I'm going for 14 nights. I've got my 14 restaurants, as have thousands of other people, but there's not enough capacity. So you've got a free dining, but then, well, I can't use it because I can't book into any restaurants. It's a huge, big problem that Walt Disney World have got on their hands. And we are going to have to tighten our belts and buckle up and go, okay, I've got to understand this now. And where do I go from here? This is the big problem. So fast passes cancelled for the time being. I've been having a look at what's been going on in Disney Shanghai. You've been open for a few weeks now. They've been open to very limited capacity. The first few weeks, you were pretty much walking on any ride. So would you need a fast pass? Probably not. But I've noticed recently, as they've kind of like opened the park capacity a little bit more, the queues have actually been getting quite high. The reason they're giving so for fast passes to be cancelled is that the fast pass queues can be used for social distancing. If you've seen any videos from China, you'll see that when you get in a queue, you've got obviously leave 2 meters in front of the party behind you. So that's soon going to build up and take out most of the queues anyway. Dining reservations cancelled. Fast pass is cancelled. But what about the dining plans? I've mentioned before, what's the point in giving us free dining when we can't use the dining reservations? We can't get any new restaurants. So that is another problem that Disney have had. But what about compensation? We booked because it's expensive to go anyway, and then it's even more expensive to pay for food on top of that. So what happens? And I think this is the biggest question that has not been answered at the moment. You might have seen something about, well, if you rebook, you get the 35% off your hotel room fee. As I mentioned at the beginning, that is just the American deal at the minute. That's what the Americans have got because they've been given free dining, but that has been mostly for people who've had previous bookings cancelled. They were given free dining as a compensation, but now those bookings have been cancelled and now the dining has been cancelled. So they've had to give them something else instead. Whereas here in the UK, you've got a bigger problem because more of us have taken on the free dining offer so that we can go. We've kind of looked at the free dining and incorporated that as part of the budget. So I think we just need to be patient, which is easier said than done. I'm all right because I don't go till the end of September, but some people, you know, you're looking at school summer holidays and that seems to be coming very soon, especially if you've got deposits to pay and things like that. I think Disney is still looking for the answers. We still need to hear from Walt Disney World's UK department, the travel agency that they operate in the UK. I think that's going to give us very different answers as well. But I think we've just got to be patient and brave. I don't think Disney want to rip us off. They've lost billions so far and they want to keep people happy and they want to keep people coming back. I don't think they're using this as an opportunity in any way to make money out of the situation. They are the busiest tourist destination in the World. They're still not open yet. Universal and SeaWorld opened their doors this week. Disney, it's still another 5 weeks down the line. They've got such a huge property, 4 theme parks, 2 water parks, all the resorts that they've got to look after, and hundreds of thousands of people are probably going to be there at any one time to try and keep happy. And they're in a situation where things are constantly changing. So we've just got to be patient. Maybe next year is the one to start thinking about. But I mean, I think if you're going to start thinking about next year, I think we've got to forget everything that we know, and we just need to start afresh and look at what our budget is. I think we need to go, okay, this is my budget. This is what I can afford right now. We've got to forget everything that's gone in the past. I think things are going to be very different for quite a long time. Hopefully soon, things will start to become a little bit clearer. When they've started making their plans, we can start making our plans. But I think until then, just make sure you get in all your news from the appropriate sources, being it from your travel agent directly or from Disney Parks directly, rather than rumours and speculation and what people have heard from friends who know friends who work at a certain place. Mickey Mouse's long-lost uncle's mate, who lives around the corner from his neighbour, is probably not where you want to get your information from right now. But there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of us in the same boat. Meanwhile, on the podcast every week, we can still keep talking about our Walt Disney World memories. We can get that just little bit of Disney World escape, which is now where we're going to go to this week's guest. Please bear in mind that I spoke to our guest who went to Disney earlier on this year before all the news of the last few weeks came out. So let's have a bit of Disney magic from Michael then, shall we? So tell us, what is it that you love about Walt Disney World?
For me, it's a bit, I suppose, a little bit cliche, really, but it's the escapism of the place. Everything, soon as you get on the Magical Express at the airport, it's the driver of that. You're just whisked into a world of Disney. And then as soon as you get to your hotel or wherever it may be, it just doesn't stop. Everybody is in that little Disney bubble, and you're just really taken away from the real world, which is a massive escapism for a lot of people.
So it sounds like last time you went, you stayed at Disney, so you're properly immersed into it.
Yes. It was my third time I went. First time I stayed in Kissimmee back in 95, so it was a good few years ago. Then I stayed at a villa in Florida back in 2003. And then this year in February, we stayed on site at Coronado Springs, and we did 2 weeks fully at it at Disney. And I don't think I could ever stay off site again, I've got to be honest.
So what was it about staying on site that you love so much?
The whole process with the magic bands, I was just amazed that literally you didn't have to take anything out with you in the day. It was just everything was on the magic band, your photos for the photo pass, everything. We had the Disney dining plan, and it was just so brilliant that it was just all connected. You know, the transport in between each of the parks. Yeah, it was like you're in another world. And I was just amazed that, you know, we took photos. It was like you're going on the kiosk, the photo kiosk thing, or you touch the pads that the people have, you're taking the photos of you. And then about half an hour, 40 minutes later, you go on the app, the Disney app, and then you can see your pictures.
And yeah, it is like having your own personal photographer with you, isn't it?
It is. It's crazy. It really is. But it was amazing. And especially I went with kids, went with a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. And when I've done theme parks before, like on tours and stuff over here, it's like, oh, can I have a snack? Can I have this? Can I have that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You have to get money out. I was just literally going to him, yeah, just go and get what you want. There's a guy over there standing there. Go get what you want.
I'm guessing you're on the free dining because you wouldn't just normally go, oh, just help yourself. You've got to be on the free dining to have all the snacks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's going to rock up.
So I think when we first got there, it was like we had 120 snack credits, and you're like looking, gosh, that is a lot. And we're thinking, we're never going to get through these, but we did.
But you do.
Yeah, you do. And it was great just going to them. Yeah, go and get a drink, you know, or get a snack or whatever. But it was just that. Like, I don't think there's anywhere in the world or another holiday that you can go on where, you know, you're fully submerged in it, and it's a good feeling, and it's a good way to spend a holiday, especially a family holiday, I think.
So the first time you went, were you a kid in the 90s?
Yeah, I would have been about 14 years. I actually went for Christmas 1994, and I went with my parents, and I remember going to Magic Kingdom on Christmas Day, and I'd have been 14 years old. For me, back then, Disney was great, and I remember having a good time on Christmas Day, but it was all Universal Studios for me back then. Back to the Future ride, Jaws, all of that. and I come away thinking, yeah, Universal was great. But yeah, I was a teenager back then.
Teenage boy though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Big movie fan, and America's always been one of them places where I've sort of gone, oh yeah, I've got to go to America. And obviously back then, the world was a much smaller place to what it is now with the internet and technology and stuff. And it was kind of like, bloody hell, I'm in Florida, you know, I'm in America. So yeah, it was one of those. And then going there, it's like, I'd love to come back at some point. And as I got, when I went in 2003, I went with my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, went with her family, and we stayed in a villa. And we went with her younger nephew, who I think he was 6 at the time. And just, you know, thinking now, seeing it'd be great to come back here with my kids when I'm older, obviously. So yeah, it was a progression.
Yeah, the very spaced out holidays as well, not like, you know, year on year.
Yeah,
quite a few years in between each one.
No, I don't know why that is, to be honest. I don't know whether it's because, you know, being at that age, I mean, I was born 1980, so it was kind of growing up in the 80s and then going, oh, brilliant, Florida, kind of done it, then done other things and then went back again. And then, yeah, what's that, 17 years later, I kind of go again. But yeah, I've made a rod for my own back now, because it's kind of like, right, when are we going again? Soon we can come back in February.
Yeah, another 10 years to wait.
yeah, no, that's definitely not happening, because we're already planning for the next one.
So. All right. So of all the times you've been, have you got one single standout favourite memory?
It's got to be my most recent one, to be honest. My most recent trip, I would say, I think we did Fantasmic on our second from last night. And it was sitting there with my daughter, who's 7. She was in a Spirit jersey, her Mickey Mouse ears, just watching all the lights and everything of Fantasmic, and just the face on her. Yeah. I've got to be honest, I didn't watch the show that much, because I did watch it, but the parts, I was kind of looking at her sitting on my lap, and the amazement in her face of all the light show and the water effects and things. And it just kind of sat there, and I thought, do you know what, this is worth it. Yes, it's an expensive trip. It's a long flight. You get over the jet lag with younger kids and stuff, but it's 100% worth it. And that, I think that will kind of stick with me for a long amount of time.
So how did you go about planning taking 2 kids? What was your strategy? Literally from thinking about going to book in to getting your fast passes and stuff, what was your online plan, if like?
Well,
if you like?
It was all down to me, to be honest, because it was a surprise for my children. We didn't tell them until the morning of the flight. So it was all a big surprise. They kind of finished school and the Monday, and we said, oh right, surprise, we're going on holiday tomorrow to Spain. And we told them, but we're driving down to Manchester tonight to stay in a hotel. We went and did that, and then in the morning we said, oh, we're not actually going to Spain, we're going to Florida. And it was kind of a silent amazement. They didn't believe it. But in the lead up to that, obviously all of the planning stuff was down to me, because the children weren't really involved and they couldn't be. My biggest planning was listening to your podcast, to be perfectly honest.
All right. Thanks.
Because they helped me out tremendously. As soon as the opportunity came up for the dinner reservations, I started doing that. And I basically thought, right, I looked at what restaurants I wanted to do, booked the restaurant. And then I kind of said, if the restaurant was in a park, I thought, right, we're going to spend that day in the park.
Yeah.
And I kind of did it like that. And it was literally, you know, I'd come home some nights after the kids had gone to bed, talk to my wife and say, look, I've done this today, I've done that. She's looking at me going, does it really need all this planning? I'm going, yeah.
She's not listened to the podcast.
No, she hadn't. Because I was listening to these podcasts, and sometimes I'd have them in the car, and the kids would be going, so why are you listening to these? We're not going to Florida for a long time. I'm going, oh, no, I'm preparing.
I'm preparing for in a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I did it with the restaurants first, and then I kind of centered around the parks, and then I waited for the fast passes, and I did the fast passes. I'd done the last few days of the holiday, the fast pass first, and worked backwards.
Good tip, yeah.
But it meant when we got there, it was kind of like we were going to some of the parks, and the kids were going, well, when are we going on this? You know, we went to Magic Kingdom. They're going, well, when are we going on flight passes and things like that? I'm going, yeah, we're going it. Don't worry. We're going to do every ride over the 2 weeks. But some of the bigger rides, harder ones to get on. Yeah, you've got to wait a few days. But that was all good. So, but yeah, planning was all down to me, and started off with dinner reservations because we like food. We're foodies, so we quite enjoy that.
All right. Well, I suppose that with those fast passes, you know, if you were, you know, you have to wait until week two to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. But if you're at Magic Kingdom on the first day and there's not a big queue, then, you know, why not go on it?
That happened with Expedition Everest. I think the first day we went to Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, sorry. Obviously, go in. Everybody goes to the left to Pandora.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, let's go over to the right. We went there. Expedition Everest, I think it had a 10-minute wait. So we were like, come on, let's go on.
Straight on it. You can do so much in those first couple of hours when everybody's over in Pandora.
Yeah. And it was brilliant. We went on it. I mean, I went it three times in the whole 2 weeks. And yeah, it was great. So if you plan it right, and like you say, you can pick other rides out and then do the other ones rather than, I think the one day, another time that we went to Animal Kingdom, I think the queue for Rite of Flight Passage was about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it was just snaking. And I was like, and it was warm as well. I mean, February, we had some good days and well, we had majority of good days. We had one very cold day, but this day was particularly warm and the amount of people queuing, I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to wait in that. Now, we both share the same favourite restaurant at Walt Disney World. So we will talk about dining in just a moment, Michael. Got another Disney Plus recommendation for you right now. Every week, if you found something really good on Disney Plus, not the obvious stuff, but you've kind of like, you've been digging deep, something that makes you think about the park, something that brings back fond memories, let me know. This week's suggestion has come through from David, who sent me a message on Instagram. Says, Andy, there's a brand new series called Zenimation, which is just brilliant. This is what we need right now. If you just want like 5 or 6 minutes just to chill out, it's compilations of different clips from Disney animation, but with just natural sounds. So, for example, there's a water one, which has got clips from films like Moana, but you're not getting the audio from the film, you're not getting music from the film, you're just getting soothing sounds of the ocean. Or you've got Anna and Kristoff walking through an icy forest. So if you just want to chill out with various classic Disney animation landscapes, maybe just want a few minutes just to switch out, maybe put it on just before you go to bed, look out for Zenimation, which is on Disney Plus. I think there's about 8 different ones. They're all about 5 minutes that you can look out for. David, thank you very much for your suggestion. If you have found anything on Disney Plus that we should be watching, let me know. Message me, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at PodMagical. I'm Michael, sharing Walt Disney World memories on the podcast this week. Let's talk about food. You said you're a foodie. We share the same favourite restaurant. And you said that nobody's mentioned it yet.
I don't think they have as their favourite one on your podcast so far. It was Chef Art's Homecoming.
But yeah, it doesn't get mentioned a lot, but it is my favourite over at Disney Springs.
Yeah. And pretty much every restaurant I went to, we ate at, I'd go, that was amazing. That's my favourite one. And my wife was going, you're saying that about everything. But yeah, Chef Art's, the chicken and donuts.
Yes!
Was unbelievable.
It sounds crazy, doesn't it? Like fried chicken and donuts.
I was taking pictures and sending it to people at home. I don't do that a lot. I'm not one of these people who take loads of pictures, especially of food. But I was like, I've got to take a picture of this. And I took it before I ate it. And then after, I was going, yeah, it was amazing. And then the guy who was serving us talked me into having the hummingbird cake.
Again, yes, great. I made one of those the other week in lockdown. I got from Chef Art Smith's hummingbird cake recipe, and I got his fried chicken recipe, and I tried to recreate Homecoming at home. And do you know what? It was all right.
Really?
Yeah. Not quite the magic of being in Orlando, but sometimes we've got no options in a minute. You've got to do your best.
That's it. I'm going to definitely give that a bash. To be fair, I did hear about that the hummingbird cake was from one of his cookbooks, the guy was telling us.
Yeah.
Who was serving us. So yeah, I might have to give that a bash myself. But yeah, I thought it was amazing. I mean, it's hard to pick. And if you're pulling my arm behind my back here, but I'd have to say Chef Art's was good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Great. And what did you have to drink in there? Because if you're on the dining plan, you get the free alcoholic drink as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think I just had a soft drink then.
What? Oh, no.
I know. I
not when you're on free dining, Michael. Unless you don't drink.
We didn't drink a lot of alcohol. The nicest bit of alcohol I had, and this was probably bad because I had it in the morning at breakfast at Tusker House, and it was it was one of these kind of milky cocktails, and it was delicious. It was really nice. It set me up for a good day, actually.
Yeah, got the little early morning buzz.
Yeah, but yeah. No, I don't think I had alcohol, or I might have had a beer with it, but I didn't have anything special. No, okay. Definitely not. Why? What was a good accompaniment for that?
Moonshine. Next time you go back, that's his other favourite famous thing. So you've had two of potentially the three famous things. So you had the hummingbird cake, you had the fried chicken and donuts, moonshine. I had a moonshine flight, which is like three shots of different flavoured moonshine.
Yeah.
Worth a try next time you go back, when you go back.
Yeah, that's going to be on the list. Yeah, I'm definitely going back to Chef Arts, but yeah, he was fantastic.
It's one of those I have to keep going back to. In terms of rides, have you got a favourite ride?
Again, I'm hard pushed to say. Expedition Everest, fantastic. Slinky Dog and Seven Dwarfs, I love them. But Flight of Passage was just, it kind of blew me away in everything that's involved with it, the build-up. And I don't think there's many rides like that in the world. And I thought that was brilliant.
And what about the kids? Did they have a favourite thing? Was that discussed?
Yeah, I mean, we did everything. We did in over in Star Wars, we did the droid building. We did the lightsaber building, which was really good. We're big Star Wars fans. And my daughter did the Princess makeover. So I think they were kind of the top for them. They love the food. But I would say Slinky Dog was probably their favourite.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. Seven Dwarfs probably close second. We did Seven Dwarfs at night, actually, and that was good fun.
Yeah, it's always sometimes there's rides that are like Slinky Dog at night as well. It's good during the day, but then if you go back at night, it's kind of like a different experience.
Yeah, we walked past Slinky Dog at night and it was all lit up.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be great to do it at night, but again, we just weren't able to get a fast pass. But
Towards the very end of the night, the queues tend to die down a little bit for Slinky Dog.
Mm-hmm.
But because people go and see Fantasmic, so quite often, like an hour before Fantasmic, half an hour before Fantasmic, you can quite often chance it.
Yeah. I mean, Slinky Dog was one of them that we wanted to go on again, but it's like with most things when you go there. We had the 14 days. I think we had one day out of the park because it was President's Day, and I said that it's going to be really busy. And I think we went to a mall that day and then chilled out around the pool and stuff. But we just didn't have time to do everything.
Yeah.
There were certain rides that we still, well, I'd say the rides, majority of the rides we did, but there were some restaurants we didn't get a chance to go to, so they're pinned for next visit.
And apart from your shopping day, did you venture out anywhere else? Did you go to Universal or anywhere, or did you just stay at Disney?
No, it was just all totally Disney. Not a regret, really, but it was kind of the time where we went out to the mall and stuff, and my son was going, oh, it looks like a really nice place, Florida. And I was going, yes, it is a nice place. But I was a little bit disappointed that they didn't really see much of it else. Like, I'd love to do the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah.
Universal. Next time we go back, we will go and do Universal, do a couple of days there. But it was just because we were on the dining plan, the free dining plan and everything. It was just didn't really make sense to go out of Disney, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
We didn't repeat a lot of things. We obviously went to the different parks in a couple of days. We only did Epcot once.
Oh, right.
And that was, I think, because when we were there was a lot of work going on, a lot of building work.
And there will be for a few years. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do like Epcot and some of the things. Coral Reef, I've eaten there before, and I thought that was really nice. That's a nice restaurant. But we didn't get to go around the World Showcase, which I'm very disappointed about. Yeah,
wow.
We just didn't get a chance to do it. It was just one of those. I think we were in Epcot all day and with younger kids, and we were like, right, okay, do we go and walk around it? Or we haven't had a chance. And we tried to fit it in at the end of the holiday, and we just didn't. So that's something definitely I want to go back and do with the kids, because I remember doing it the first few times that I was there, so, and it was good.
I was going to say, probably with kids of that age, you know, you want to be spending your time in Toy Story Land and stuff like that, and Magic Kingdom. So Epcot's probably not a priority when you've got young kids.
Yeah, it wasn't a priority. But when we were there, it was the Festival for Arts that was on, and they were doing chalk drawing on the majority of the floor in certain places by the waterfalls and stuff. And my kids were like, oh, let's do this. And they were there for a good 40 minutes, but they were taking all the cast members coming over, taking pictures, talking to them and doing all this. So that was a nice little recharge the batteries for. I went, right, come on now, we've got so much to see.
chop. Fast passes to get on.
Yeah.
So when do you think you'll go back next?
2023.
Right.
Is pretty much earmarked, because I think that will give enough time for all of the stuff that's being done. Tron and the Guardians of the Galaxy in Epcot. I think that will be a good enough time away to, hopefully, with everything that's going on, I hope everything will be finished by then.
Well,
I'm sure it will be.
We would hope. Obviously, everything's been set back in terms of building and construction as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
2023, Oh, I can't wait for 2023. And then don't forget to have that moonshine over at Chef Art Smith's homecoming.
Yes, no. Well, I'm going to try and make the cake and maybe some chicken before then.
Try and make fried chicken and hummingbird cake meanwhile. Good talking to you, Michael, and have a magical day.
You too, mate.
If you'd like to join me 1 week on the podcast for a chat, yes, it does seem like our trips to Walt Disney World are going even further away. And it does feel weird talking about making dining reservations and fast passes because we can't. But we can still talk about it. If you've got any favourite memories, favourite attractions, favourite restaurants, we can still talk about it and share our memories. Just get in touch with me. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at PodMagical if you fancy popping on and being a podcast guest. We've got podcasts, of course. Brand new episode, brand new guests every Friday. And a new top tip of the week. This week, when it comes to planning, you might be thinking about planning next year's trip now. When it comes to planning, let everyone have a say in planning, but make sure just one person takes charge, especially when it comes to fast passes when they come back and advanced dining reservations, because everybody needs to have their say in planning. If one person just goes, right, these are the restaurants we're going to and you will eat here and you will like it, that could only cause arguments during the holiday. So make sure everybody has, you know, had a look at all the restaurants, and everybody picks one restaurant each. At least they've had their say, and then just get one person to collate it at the end. And I'm guessing as you listen to this podcast, it's probably you that I'm talking to that's going to be in charge. But make sure everybody's got their say in the planning, because when we finally do get to Walt Disney World, it'll save a lot of arguments and embarrassment in restaurants. Of course, if you've got any top tips, let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical. Same place to go to be a podcast guest. As I say, we've got a brand new podcast every Friday with a brand new guest and brand new memories. So make sure you've hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts from, be it Apple Podcasts, be it Spotify. Hit that subscribe button and join us next Friday for more digital Disney. It's the only chance we're going to get to be at Walt Disney World at the minute. Doesn't it feel like that? And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.